This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, July 23rd, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the world's top economic leaders issue a warning on trade.
Speculation of a Bank of Japan policy change roils the markets.
Earnings roll in with more than a third of the S&P 500 reporting this week. Alphabet is out today.
Fiat shares drop as the automaker replaces ailing CEO Sergio Marchionne.
A mounting war of words between the leaders of the U.S. and Iran, and a mass shooting leaves Canada's largest city shaken. I'm Nathan Hager. Those stories and more coming up.
I'm John Stashower on sports. A rain out in the Bronx. Mets and Yankees will make it up in 3 weeks. Tiger Woods faltered and Francesco Molinari won the British Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm John Tucker. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Futures in the U.S. pointing to a lower open. S&P futures 2 points lower. The Dow futures right now 11 points lower. The NASDAQ E-mini futures down 26 points. European stocks, they are lower, with the German DAX down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris down 0.5%. The FTSE in London is 0.4% lower. And the Nikkei 225 was 1.3% lower. In currency markets, the yen rising, Japanese government bonds, they are sliding, and speculation about the Bank of Japan's stimulus, the yen at 111.14, that's up 0.2% against the U.S. dollar. Yield on the benchmark 10-year note in the U.S., 2.88%. And this morning, we have crude oil, Brent crude, up 69 cents a barrel at 73.76. Bob.
And thank you very much, John Tucker. The world's economic leaders are warning that rising trade tensions pose an increasing risk to global growth. Bloomberg's Patrick Gillespie has the latest from the G20 in Buenos Aires.
The world's top economic leaders warned Sunday that rising trade tensions pose an increasing risk to global growth. All leaders of the G20 meetings in Buenos Aires, Argentina, signed the communique. That was an improvement after President Trump withdrew the U.S. signature from the G7 communique in Canada last month. Despite the consensus in Argentina, U.S. and European leaders criticized each other on trade over the weekend. However, the G20 members didn't discuss currency manipulation, an issue Trump raised on Friday. In Buenos Aires, Patrick Gillespie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrick, thanks. The Japanese yen is trading at a two-week high, and Japanese government bonds are sliding. This comes on media reports of possible changes to the country's ultra-loose monetary policy that led the Bank of Japan to offer to buy an unlimited amount of bonds at a fixed-rate operation. Now, any change to the BOJ stimulus would be the first since 2016.
In Europe, Fiat shares are falling as the automaker names a new CEO to replace the ailing Sergio Marchionne. Let's go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob and John. It's going to be Mike Manley, the head of Fiat's Jeep division, taking over. That follows Marchionne's deteriorating health. The ANSA network says that the condition is irreversible. So we're seeing Fiat Chrysler dropping by 2.2%, Ferrari down 4.1%. Elsewhere in the markets, Ryanair is taking a hit. Labour strife's weighing down on the airline. It's posted a 20% drop in first quarter profits. That's also due to lower fuel fares, higher fuel costs. Its stock is down 4.5%, which is the most since December. And the bank Julius Baer has posted results, and new money there is disappointing the markets. Assets under management and net inflows at the Swiss wealth manager failing to convince investors that CEO Bernard Hodler's growth plans are on track. The stock down by 4.3%, which is the most in 6 months. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. Here, the U.S. Wall Street is gearing up for a flood of technology earnings reports this week, starting with the Alphabet kicking it all off today. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Technology companies will be front and center this week. Mark Lehman is the president of JMP Securities.
Listen, I think past is going to be prologue. I think you're going to have a great quarter from Facebook. Obviously, Amazon is continuing to garner a lot of market share. Apple will have, I would think, a less muted of a quarter. Just seasonally, it's not their greatest quarter. But I'd be cautious in describing all these companies as tech companies, because time and time again, what they're growing their businesses is not just in the technology space.
Facebook reports on Wednesday. Amazon Thursday, and then Apple the following week on July 31st. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. There's also a full calendar of economic data in the week ahead, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has a preview.
The government issues data on second quarter GDP on Friday, and economists are forecasting the strongest performance since 2014, growth in the neighborhood of 4% paced by consumer spending. There's also housing data, including today's report on existing home sales. Higher mortgage rates are an issue. Economists are forecasting little change for June. Wednesday's report on new home sales is expected to register a decline. Also on the calendar, merchandise trade and durable goods orders. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Among the wealthy tri-state area set, there's more buzz than ever about fleeing south to Florida, especially after last year's federal tax overhaul and zero state personal income tax. But it has not been so easy. Ben Steverman wrote the story for Bloomberg News.
Higher earners are learning what tax experts have known for a long time, which is that tax collectors make it really hard to leave. Tax collectors in places like New York and California are very aggressive about making sure that if you move, you really have moved. And wealthy people are learning that they need to keep very careful records if they want to relocate, proving that they actually have left the state, that they're spending more than half the year usually outside the state, and that they really have relocated their homes, their valuables, and cut connections to their former homes.
Bloomberg's Ben Steverman. In the past 12 months, the number of net change of address forms filed with the U.S. Postal Service for people moving to Florida from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut has actually declined slightly from recent highs.
Shares of Tesla are down 4% in early trading on a report it's asking suppliers for refunds so it can turn a profit. According to the Wall Street Journal, the electric car company asked a supplier to return what it called a meaningful amount of money from payments dating back to 2016. Tesla confirmed to the newspaper that it's seeking price reductions.
And to S&P futures this morning, 2 points lower than Dow futures right now. 12 points lower, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures are down 26 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. 6:07 on Wall Street. Time now for news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Nathan Hager.
Good morning, John. It is a war of words with echoes of the fire and fury rhetoric against North Korea last summer. In a late-night all-caps tweet, President Trump warned of unspecified consequences if Iran's President Hassan Rouhani keeps threatening the U.S. It came after Rouhani said this through an interpreter in a TV appearance.
The Americans say they won't allow Iran to export even a drop of oil. Do you think Iran is that weak? What are you thinking? You cannot do such a thing. We will stand up to you. We are people of resistance. The entire Iranian nation will resist.
The U.S. is moving closer to sanctioning countries that don't make significant cuts to Iranian oil imports by early November. In Toronto,
I heard at least 20 shots. Right, in intervals.
That man says he saw another man open fire into restaurants and cafes in the city's Greektown neighborhood, killing a woman and wounding 13 other people before that gunman was killed in an exchange of gunfire with police. Mark Saunders is the police chief in Toronto.
I'm not calling it random. This person was here and he definitely shot. I don't know why he did what he did. He won't be able to tell us because he is deceased.
Police are now looking for video and photos from the scene. This attack comes just a few months after the van attack that killed 10 people in North Toronto. French President Emmanuel Macron has ordered an overhaul of his office. He's under pressure to break his silence more than 2 months after an aide was caught on video beating a protester. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi reports from Paris.
Parliament Monday will audition the interior minister and the head of the Paris police to understand why a security aide to the French president was seen beating protesters on May 1st and why the presidential palace kept it quiet and allowed the aide to keep managing Macron's security. A week ago, Macron was singing and dancing in the dressing room of France's victorious World Cup team. Now he's retreated from public view. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
North Korea is reportedly looking for a bold move from the U.S. before it will move forward on denuclearization talks. CNN reports the North's looking for a permanent peace treaty to replace the armistice that essentially ended the Korean War. It's also pressuring the Trump administration to begin lifting sanctions now. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries in Washington. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, John.
Nate, thanks a lot. Coming up on 6:10 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, no game at the stadium. The one to decide the Subway Series rained out. Mets and Yankees both had a night off scheduled for August 13th. So in 3 weeks, they'll make up last night. Yankees have moved on to Tampa Bay with Masahiro Tanaka pushed back. They'll move CC Sabathia's first start after the All-Star break back to Friday to give the veterans some extra rest. Mets will start Jacob DeGrom tonight at Citi Field against San Diego. Under the heading of "These things only happen to the Mets," they have put Noah Syndergaard back on the disabled list, this time with hand, foot, and mouth disease, believed to have been contracted at an appearance at a kids' baseball camp. He may miss only one start. At the British Open, Tiger Woods teed off on the 11th hole with sole possession of the lead. Didn't last.
A little ticked off at myself, for sure. I had a chance starting that back nine to do something, and I didn't do it. I thought nine would be the number. You know, there's three guys at nine. I figured one of the three guys would shoot even par. I know it's tough out there. And, you know, next thing, lo and behold, I'm tied for lead, and then I'm leading it.
But Tiger with a double bogey, then a bogey, dropped down. The winner, his playing partner, 35-year-old Italian Francesco Molinari, a bogey-free round of 69. He finished 8 under par and won by 2. First from Italy to win any of golf's four majors. The Giants have started training camp. Rookie running back Saquon Barkley in the fold, signed his contract. Tony Sparano, once the Jets' offensive coordinator, the head coach once of the Dolphins, died suddenly at the age of 56. He was on the staff at Minnesota. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. Now some baseball business news for you. At least 10% of the New York Mets is going up for sale. Sources are telling Bloomberg three minority owners, possibly others, are selling their stakes in the Mets. The sellers include Comcast and Charter, who own part of the team through their investment in the broadcast network SNY. And futures in the U.S. point to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures are a point lower. The Dow futures are down 8 points, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures are 25 points lower. We have the 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.88%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it's 6:17 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. We have European stocks falling, U.S. equity futures. They point to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures right now down 2 points. The Dow futures down 12. Yeah, the Nasdaq E-mini futures 29 points lower. Nikkei in Japan, that closed down 1.3% today. The FTSE in London down 0.4. German DAX right now 0.2% lower. And the CAC in Paris is down 0.5%. Yield on the benchmark 10-year note in the U.S. 2.88%. And we have crude oil higher. Brent crude is up 1.3% right now at $74.03. NYMEX up 62 cents a barrel. That's up 68.88 a barrel. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning to you, Nathan Hager.
Morning to you, John Tucker. President Trump says Iran will face consequences if it threatens the U.S. again. The president wrote that in an all-caps tweet last night. A high-ranking Iranian officer is calling it nothing but psychological warfare. Police in Toronto are looking for video and photos in the Greektown neighborhood. That's where a man killed a woman and wounded 13 others in a mass shooting last night before he was killed in a shootout with police. The Yankees and the Mets were rained out last night. The Nationals won. Orioles lost. A's beat the Giants in extras. Francesco Molinari wins the British Open. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, John.
Nathan, thanks a lot. It is now 6:19 on Wall Street. Let's get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. And helping us do that in New York this morning, Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News. In London, the senior executive editor, Heather Harris, and in Hong Kong, senior international editor, Jody Schneider. Joe, you're here in the studio. Let's start with you. A big week for earnings, especially tech earnings, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures 28 points lower. Is that some sort of vote by investors this morning on what kind of week we're going to have for tech earnings?
There has been a little bit of underperformance in the Nasdaq the last few days. We see some anxiety going into earnings. But you got to keep sight of the big picture. A few days doesn't really tell you that much. The bigger story is still the incredible year, the outperformance that we've seen from these gigantic tech names once again leading the way. And, you know, with that outperformance, the stakes get raised. And so this week, it'll be incredible attention paid to their earnings, starting with Alphabet.
And the investors sure to ask, what have you done for me lately? Oh. Heather, let's go to you. Ryanair, the discount flyer, the profits sliding. That's taking other airlines with it this morning. What's the problem there?
That's right. So this is what is not supposed to happen at Ryanair, which, you know, has built its whole business model on not being unionized, not having the sort of labor disruption of the legacy carriers. However, it was forced to have its members join a union because there were strikes, there were walkouts in its local market, and that has come home to roost on its earnings today and may also burden earnings for the rest of the year if these walkouts continue.
Jody Schneider, let's head to you in Hong Kong. Boy, did this Royal Markets report that the Bank of Japan would maybe end its ultra-easy monetary policy. Where did it come from? What happened?
Yeah, it was indeed a dramatic day for Japan's debt market, with yields surging on media reports of possible changes to the nation's ultra-loose monetary policy, spurred the central bank to offer an unlimited amount of bonds, and the yield on 10-year government securities soared as much as 6 basis points, biggest increase in almost 2 years. Any change to BOJ stimulus would be the first since 2016, when it introduced control of the yield curve in what it was a bid to manage the impact of the bond purchases and those negative interest rates. The dilemma for Governor Kuroda there is that even as calls to change policy grow louder, persistently weak inflation that the government can't seem to do much about, dictates the need to maintain that stimulus. If they wound it back, it would strengthen the yen, which would further undermine efforts to spur higher prices and also hurt exporters.
And nowhere near their inflation targets. Heather, back to you. Central bank meetings this week, ECB and Turkey.
Yeah, so Turkey, I think, is going to be a lot more interesting than the ECB. One analyst described the ECB as most likely being on autopilot on Thursday. Turkey we get tomorrow, which is the first rate decision since Erdogan won his executive presidency in that very tightly contested election last month. So analysts right now are looking for a 100 basis point hike. They say what the economy really needs is more like 300 basis points. We're probably not going to get that. We're seeing a meeting of the new finance minister with economists later today. Any kind of signs we get from that are whether the central bank's going to defy Erdogan and move at all.
Joe Weisenthal, Archie Bunker, remember him? He used to say that the United States had the grossest domestic product. How gross is it right now?
The second quarter is expected to be very good. The question is whether it's a high watermark. But, of course, I think GDP growth in the current era obtains a little bit more of a political element, a political valence, given how much the president would like to crow about the fastest growth in a long time. So it'll be interesting to see the number later this week. But right now, we seem to be at the potential peak of things, whether it's peak fiscal stimulus, trade pictures looking good. The question then is, does it then deteriorate as all these headwinds that we know, many of which come from overseas, and the end of the sort of fiscal impulse boost start to fade a little bit?
You were 2 years old when All in the Family was on, I think.
I've heard of it.
Joey, let's finish up with you. Qualcomm, the NXP deal, faces a moment of truth with China, yes or no?
Yes. Well, by the middle of the week, the semiconductor industry's largest ever deal will be dead or it'll be done. Qualcomm is at the end of this nearly two-year wait for China's government to sign off on its $44 billion purchase of NXP semiconductors. As they both operate in the world's biggest market for chips, it requires approval from the government, though shareholders and other governments have already given it the go-ahead. Chinese agencies responsible for vetting deals have apparently already signed off, according to people that Bloomberg's spoken with. If they don't get any word from China, Qualcomm doesn't plan to seek an extension. And also, if the deal does fall apart, Qualcomm will have to pay NXP a $2 billion breakup fee.
And I should finish up with a Fiat Chrysler just getting a red-hot sticky from the Bloomberg. Alfredo Ativia is set to resign Fiat Chrysler. Of course, this all comes as Fiat's falling, the ailing Sergio Marchionne has been replaced after falling ill and seriously ill over the weekend. It looks like they're betting their future on Jeep. S&P futures right now down a point. The Dow futures 11 points lower. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And once again, Fiat Chrysler's Alfredo Altavia is said to resign. Focus on a lot of the automakers today as Sergio Marchionne was replaced at Fiat Chrysler. We'll have more straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm John Tucker. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European stocks are lower after G20 central bankers and finance ministers said trade tensions are a threat to global growth. Bloomberg's Patrick Gillespie has details from Argentina.
Trade dominated the conversation here in Buenos Aires, and there is concern that some of the emerging markets, such as Argentina, could be impacted by the market volatility that these trade conflicts could create.
Bloomberg's Patrick Gillespie reports that currency manipulation was not a topic of discussion at the G20 meetings, despite President Trump's remarks on the matter last week.
In Japan, the yen is strengthening. While government bonds slide, the moves come amid reports of possible changes to the Bank of Japan's ultra-loose monetary policy.
It's a busy week for U.S. earnings, with more than a third of the S&P 500 due to report. We get results from Alphabet today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Analysts are bullish on Google's parent. Buy ratings outnumber hold ratings 7-1, and there are no sell ratings. The company appears to be hitting on all cylinders. Bloomberg Intelligence says robust revenue performance is expected from mobile search ads, YouTube attracting larger brands, and accelerating cloud sales. It's expected the $5 billion fine levied by antitrust regulators in Europe will be accrued in second quarter earnings. Forecasters see Alphabet posting an adjusted profit of $11.77 a share on revenue topping $25.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. Tesla's stock is down almost 4% in early trading. That's after a Wall Street Journal report that the company asked suppliers for refunds in order to help Tesla turn a profit.
And Fiat Chrysler named a new CEO as a health crisis left the chief executive officer, Sergio Marchionne, unable to return to work. Mike Manley, who has previously headed the Jeep and Ram division, takes the helm just days before Fiat Chrysler reports second quarter results. Also just breaking this moment, Fiat Chrysler's chief operating officer and head of business development for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, Alfredo Altavia, is resigning. Fiat Chrysler shares most active in the pre-market, down 3.5%.
Now, 6:32 on Wall Street, time for the Volatility Index report, and the VIX fell slightly on Friday to close out the week at 1286. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is bouncing back up again. It is at 1331, and that's this morning's Volatility report.
And S&P futures are 2 points lower. The Dow futures this morning down 17 points, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures are 31 points lower. We have the 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.88%. This is Bloomberg. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by Eisner Amper Center for Family Business Excellence. If you're a family-owned business and need support in navigating tough family business decisions, Eisner Amper can help. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/family. Let's find out what's going on around the world. Here's Nathan Hager.
Well, John, President Trump is warning Iran to, quote, never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before, end quote. That was in all caps in a tweet sent last night, hours after Iranian President Hassan Rouhani sent President Trump his own warning if he tries to cut off Iran's oil exports.
President Trump, do not play with the lion's tail. You'll regret it. It will bring you eternal regret.
Rouhani spoke through an interpreter as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo delivered a speech in California about corruption in Iran.
These hypocritical holy men have devised all kinds of crooked schemes
to become some of the wealthiest men on earth while their people suffer.
He's urging European allies to join the U.S. in a pressure campaign against Iran. A German foreign ministry spokesman just said that mutual threats of military force are never helpful in response to all this, while Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is praising President Trump for what he calls his strong stance against Iran. 1 week after the Helsinki meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, no end to the tumult in Washington.
It was a historic mistake to allow the president of the United States, not just Donald Trump, but any president, frankly, to sit for 2 hours without any note takers, without any aides present, with one of the most adversarial leaders of the world relative to the United States.
As former White House National Security Advisor Susan Rice on ABC's This Week. Despite the criticism, President Trump's poll numbers are inching upward. His job approval rating at a record 45% among registered voters in a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. More than 40 people have been killed in an ongoing heat wave in Japan and South Korea. The city of Kumagaya, northwest of Tokyo, hit 106 degrees today. That is a Japanese record. A prominent liberal politician in South Korea has been found dead in what appears to be one of the country's highest-profile suicides in recent years. Police think three-term lawmaker Roh Ho-chan leapt to his death from a Seoul apartment building after leaving a note. He was caught up in a corruption scandal. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok. On Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries in Washington, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, John.
Nathan, thanks. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, last night was to decide the Subway Series. Mets and Yankees will have to wait 3 weeks. So August 13th, they'll make up last night's rainout of the Bronx. Red Sox won yesterday. The Yanks trail Boston by 5 games. They'll be at Tampa Bay tonight. The Mets will host San Diego. Noah Syndergaard, who beat the Yanks on Friday, is now back on the disabled list, this time with hand, foot, and mouth disease, something that usually affects toddlers. The Mets are hopeful he'll miss only one start. Wild finish to the British Open. Tiger Woods began the day in a 7-way tie for 6th place, and yet he reached the back nine with the outright lead. What a story. Tiger winning his first major in a decade would have been, but a double bogey, then a bogey, ended up 3 shots behind the winner. His playing partner, 35-year-old Francesco Molinari, first from Italy to win any of golf's 4 majors.
Disbelief, to be honest. It's amazing to stand here with the Clyde jug. I knew I was coming in with some good golf. My record around here was terrible, so that didn't make me too optimistic about the week, but I just tried to not think about it and focus on hitting good shots day by day.
Molinari with a bogey-free round of 69, finished 8-under, 1-by-2. Rory McIlroy, part of a 4-way tie for second. Jordan Spieth was trying to win back-to-back, started the day tied for the lead, but shot 76 and tied for 9th. The Giants begin training camp with rookie running back Saquon Barkley, signed a 4-year, $31 million contract, believed to be fully guaranteed. Tony Sparano has died. He was only 56, was on the coaching staff in Minnesota. Sparano once the head coach in Miami and Oakland and the offensive coordinator of the Jets. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
All right, thanks a lot, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Puerto Rico is caught in a power struggle between its elected government and the federally appointed control board created to manage its finances. Unless the government makes peace, the losers will be ordinary Puerto Ricans and their fragile hopes of economic recovery. The fight was sparked when the bankrupt island's government upended a budget compromise earlier this month that would have reformed the island's onerous labor laws. The governor and legislature later filed suit challenging the board's powers. This battle can only distract Puerto Rico from its many huge challenges, including the 60,000 homes damaged by Hurricane Maria that still have tarps for roofs. One of the most effective actions Congress could take to help, extending the earned income tax credit to Puerto Rico, would demand a degree of political consensus that the island has yet to foster. No progress is possible until the Commonwealth appraises its own shortcomings and demonstrates the discipline to transcend them. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. President Trump's trade offensive could hurt Republicans in the midterm elections, especially in farm country. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Soybean farmers and pork producers will be casting their votes this November in swing states like Missouri, North Dakota, and Tennessee.
The elections are still 3 months away. It's possible that we could have some resolution by then. But right now, the signs are not encouraging.
Bloomberg Law's Rosella Brevetti says the worst-case scenario has farmers squeezed out of their markets and consumers hit with higher prices.
I do think that trade will play a greater role than we've seen in previous elections because of everything that is going on.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. U.S. industries are getting much more concentrated, with a few big players dominating markets. As big companies become more powerful, fewer new companies are being started. Data from the Federal Reserve shows startups, as a share of all businesses, has steadily declined since 1979 from 14% to about 8%. Some of that decline comes from fewer tech startups, but tech makes up only a minor share of small businesses, so most of the decline must come from a drop in non-tech business formation. This also can be seen in the aging of the small business owner population. From 2007 to 2012, the share of small business owners less than age 50 fell by 4.9%. In the modern economy, mom-and-pops have little chance against chains like Walmart. As a result, the decline in dynamism has been especially severe among retail and service business. The trend isn't just a function of the Internet. It's actually been happening since the 1980s. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And this on a morning when U.S. futures, little change on the S&P at least, to down 2 points right now. The Dow futures down 16, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures 31 points lower. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it's now 6:47 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Let's head over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney.
And good morning, John. U.S. futures are trading low right now, with Dow futures down 28 points, S&P's dropped 3.5, and the Nasdaq futures declined by 34. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.88%, and Japan fell 1.3% overnight, while European markets are also trading lower, led by losses in France and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Chicago Fed, and at 10 o'clock, existing home sales. After the bell on Friday, Apollo Global is said to be in talks to buy LifePoint Health. And regarding earnings this morning, Hasbro beat estimates, and Halliburton was in line. In deal news, Atos agreed to buy Syntel in an all-cash deal valued at $3.57 billion, including debt. And in other news, Tesla is down 3.8% in the pre-market on reports the company is seeking cash back from suppliers. Regarding IPOs, Sono sets its IPO 14 million shares in the range of 17 to 19 a share. And wrapping things up, Walgreens was downgraded to market perform at Cowen. Duke Energy upgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan. And Papa John's downgraded to sell over at Stiefel. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. John?
Bill, thanks a lot. And in the currency markets, the Japanese yen up 0.3% against the dollar right now, 111.14. And we have Brent crude up 1.6%. That's up $1.15 at $74.22 a barrel. And here, live breaking news will be Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal. It is now 6:48 on Wall Street. We do check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, let's check in with Bloomberg's Nathan Hager.
Morning, John. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is praising President Trump for his strong stance on Iran. The president tweeted an all-caps warning of consequences to Iranian President Hassan Rouhani if he keeps threatening the U.S. Germany's foreign ministry says mutual threats of military force are never helpful. In Afghanistan, a suicide bombing near Kabul International Airport has left 14 people dead. The attack narrowly missed Afghanistan's vice president. President Trump may be hoping third time's the charm at the Department of Veterans Affairs. The Senate is expected to confirm Pentagon official Robert Wilkie as the next VA secretary today. President's first choice, David Shulkin, was fired, and the first choice to replace him, Ronny Jackson, was accused of workplace misconduct. Yankees and Mets were rained out last night. Nats win, O's lose. A's beat the Giants in 10 innings, and Francesco Molinari is your winner at the British Open. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, just say touche. On the sidelines of the NATO summit in Brussels, we're hearing President Trump told French President Emmanuel Macron that he should suggest the European Union negotiate with the U.S. According to Axios, Macron replied, quote, I read the art of the deal, end quote, said he knows they need to retaliate first so they have some leverage in the negotiation. According to the report, Macron has learned the only language President Trump understands is the unnuanced transactional language of deal making. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Hi, thanks, Nathan. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check in with what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include tensions between the U.S. and Iran heating up as Presidents Trump and Rouhani trade threats. Fears of a currency war seem to be easing after the weekend's meeting of G20 countries in Argentina. And Paul Manafort heads to court this week in Virginia to fight bank fraud and tax charges. Let's get more on these items now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, happy Monday morning to you. Let's start with the war of words between the U.S. and Iran. Walk us what is going on here.
Well, what a Monday it's been so far, and it's really just getting started. Trump basically, he obviously is someone who's known for his bellicose Twitter language, but, you know, raised the bar for that yet again with a tweet that he came out with late last night that basically issued a very stern warning to Iran in terms of its nuclear program, and did so in all caps, which certainly drew a bit of attention. You know, he's a fan of using a lot of exclamation points and capital letters, but this one was both strong in its language and also in its delivery in terms of the all caps nature of it. So I think that's really kind of focused people's attention on the Iran issue, which in some ways Trump may be doing by design. We'll remember that last week was a really tumultuous one for him in what's been a characteristically unpredictable presidency. He caught a lot of flack for his performance in Helsinki and his meeting with Vladimir Putin. And this very well could be an attempt by Trump and his allies to try to change, try to turn the page on what was kind of a difficult week for them last week.
And of course, this all boils down to oil, and with the United States imposing sanctions and trying to get other countries to jump on board with this. NYMEX crude up 79, but the international benchmark Brent crude as a result up $1.15, $74.22. Okay, let's turn to the threat of a currency war now. We know what happened with the tweets last week in that interview with CNBC and President Trump. G20 finance ministers and the central bankers, they met in Buenos Aires over the weekend and emerged with a statement they could all agree on. What did we learn from that document?
So it's interesting, you know, here we have kind of a lot of acrimony in terms of the relationships between the U.S. and really China, Europe, you name it. Because of Trump's tariff threats and protectionist policies overall. But basically what we heard from the global finance ministers was that that these threats are really causing risks to the global economy. However, that's kind of a platitude. There's been no real sense of how they're going to move away from these confrontations or lower that risk at all. It's just kind of a statement that this is bad.
And, well, President Trump wasn't there this time. The Treasury Secretary, Mr. Mnuchin, was there. Did he seem to walk back any of the president's comments or tweets?
Well, Mnuchin has been someone who all along has really been trying to kind of lower the temperature of these sort of trade disputes. That's kind of been his role in the administration. And we saw him do that again, and perhaps in the most significant way yet in Buenos Aires, because he was coming off of Trump's tweets on Friday, where he basically threatened to label China and Europe currency manipulators. And so he tended to walk that back a bit and tried to kind of really sort of ease the concerns that obviously were generated by Trump's language by saying, hey, you know, this is really going to be okay. We're not really going to do that. And I think that that's kind of been the role that we've seen him in time and again. And he did it again effectively, it seems, by all accounts in Buenos Aires.
Finally, let's turn closer to home now, Kathleen, with the latest in the special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe. The former Trump campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, set to be tried on bank fraud and tax charges in Virginia this week. What are you watching in this upcoming trial? Is he at any point going to cooperate with authorities?
Well, I think that'll be certainly interesting to watch. And I think, though, getting started, really, the trial is going to start with jury selection on Wednesday. And I think that that's going to be fascinating to watch because this indictment and this whole storyline has gotten so much attention from the defense's perspective in particular. They would like to start out with people who might not have a preconceived notion going in. But I think that those people are going to be very difficult to find. So the type of jury that they end up with and the types of questions that they ask during jury selection might begin to provide us with a clearer window than what we've had so far of what the defense's case is going to look like.
All right, Kathleen, thanks a lot. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Bob.
Thank you, John. Let's turn the focus back to earnings now. It's a big week for tech. Beginning today, when Alphabet reports quarterly results, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Alex Webb.
Google's parent company Alphabet reports, with analysts expecting revenue to jump more than 20%. When Facebook and Amazon report on Wednesday and Thursday respectively, they're looking for a staggering 40% sales increase. Look out for comments on how Europe's new general data protection regulation is affecting Google and Facebook's ads business, and for whether Amazon and Google's surging cloud business is continuing to tear along at a healthy clip. Alex Webb, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Alex. While tech is front and center, there are several names of note on this week's list. We get results from Harley-Davidson tomorrow, where talk of the brewing trade war will certainly be in focus. Verizon, Eli Lilly, and AT&T also report tomorrow. Coca-Cola, General Motors, Boeing, and Ford Motor release results Wednesday. On Thursday, Comcast, McDonald's, Starbucks, and Intel. Friday, we hear from Twitter, Merck, Chevron, and ExxonMobil. It is now 6:56 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. It is an iconic bird of prey and an ironic centerpiece of the presidential seal that follows Donald Trump everywhere. Now, Trump's Interior Department wants to weaken the decades-old law that's credited with saving the American bald eagle, the Endangered Species Act. The ESA has also protected the gray wolf, spotted owl, crocodiles, polar bear, and more than 1,600 varieties of plants and animals. The proposal would require consideration of economic impacts, speed up the regulatory process, and weaken protection of critical habitat, which critics fear will help businesses move ahead with projects that would otherwise be prohibited. It was President Richard Nixon who signed the measure into law in 1973, but in recent years, lawmakers from the Republican Party he once led have pushed to roll it back amid complaints from loggers, miners, farmers, and oil drillers that it's become a tool to stifle development. Environmentalists vow to fight the Trump administration in court. And that is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Stay with us. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Pim Fox coming up on Bloomberg Radio and for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For John Tucker, I'm Bob Moon. Thanks for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak.